How do you do? Skid Row is littered with drunks and derelicts, those the world has chewed up and spit out. Rarely does it see someone like the man in this story, a respectable man, driven there by a need greater than his reputation, a need that could only be met when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing light to a darkening world, this is Unshackled, true life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Don't judge by appearances, we say, and yet we do. Homeless people who have no way to shower, change clothes, spend their days being told to move on because of how they look. But not when they come to Pacific Garden Mission. There they receive a warm welcome, showers and fresh clothing, nourishing meals, and a clean, safe bunk. No wonder it's called the Old Lighthouse. There, counselors and pastors share the good news that can change everything, the good news that their lives have a purpose, and it's good. Futility and fear are not part of this plan. Whosoever will come and receive the gift of new life is not judged by appearances, but by the one who looks on the heart. Now, because of friends like you who support this broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3056 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. At 22 years old, Joe Stump and his army unit were pinned down by incoming artillery. All of them could die, and they knew it.
I'll tell you something, Joe. I wish I was back home in Chicago right now.
Yeah, me too.
Smack in the middle of good old Bridgeport, smelling the stockyards. Hey, look at that artillery officer riding that mule.
He must be nuts.
Hey, you want to get killed? Get off that mule and get your head down.
He's crazy, man. Gone over the edge.
Goodbye and good luck, laddie boy. May you win your share of glory and come back to tell the story. Goodbye and good luck, laddie boy.
Shut up and get down.
Look, Joe, the guy on the mule.
Look at what? He's gone. Both gone.
Joe, I think I'm going to be sick.
God almighty. Listen to me, God. If you get me through this, I promise I'll do the right thing by you. I promise, God, I will. I'll be a minister, that's what. I'll be a minister.
Promises made in the heat of battle are often forgotten, but not by the man in our story. This is the testimony of his complicated path of redemption, the true story of Joe Stump from the classic files of Unshackled.
Mine is not the tale of a juvenile delinquent. Far from it. I was a good boy who ran errands for his mother, who could be trusted with any task, big or small. Sundays, I even half listened to the service. At 17, I went off to the war that was raging in Europe, and in the heat of battle, I proclaimed my future occupation. Back home after the war, I went through seminary, which was associated with our mainline church, and later, I became a pastor in our church. Still a bachelor, I took long vacations in the Michigan woods. A man meets his destiny when he least expects it. I was enjoying a quiet walk, thinking I had the woods all to myself, when suddenly...
I'm coming! I'm coming! It's all right. Whatever happened, it's all right now.
It was a snake. A monster snake. I almost stepped on it.
Well, there's no danger now. It's not after you. Please, young lady, please. I don't think you have to hold me quite that close.
You're a minister?
Yes.
Shall I call you Reverend then?
Well, my name is Joe. You can just call me Joe.
Oh, my name is Nelda. Oh, God sent you, Joe, to save me from that snake.
Too bad Eve didn't run the way you did from that serpent in the Garden of Eden.
You must know a lot about the Bible.
Well, I studied it some in seminary.
My mother is always reading the Bible.
Oh?
She thinks Jesus is the answer to everything. Is your mother like that?
Well, we always went to church.
So do we. Still do.
But I read other books than the Bible. Don't want to be all lopsided, you know?
Are you from around here, Joe?
Originally from New Jersey, but the church I pastor is around here.
Is your wife with you?
Oh, I'm not married. Nelda chose me instead of the snake that day, and we began seeing each other. A few weeks later, I went to Chicago to meet her mother.
So this is Joseph, such a nice young man. Nelda writes me, and she's telling the truth.
Careful what you say, Ma. I don't want to spoil him too soon.
Ah, such a one you don't spoil with kindness. And a minister of the gospel, too. Tell me, Joseph, when did you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior?
Why, I think I've always known about Jesus. My family took me to church all the time. I was a little boy.
I see. Well, you're right, Nelda. He's a very nice young man. I give you both my blessing.
I knew that Nelda's mother was disappointed, but I wasn't sure why. Privately, I thought she was a sweet but slightly fanatical woman. The issue didn't really come up again until our wedding day. Then, just before we left on our honeymoon, her mom came and kissed me gently on the cheek.
Goodbye, Joseph, and God be with you both.
Oh, thank you, Ma. And don't worry about Nelda. I'll be as good a husband to her as I can.
Oh, I'm sure of that. And I hope you become a very good preacher, Joseph.
How do you know I'm not? You haven't heard me preach.
No, I haven't. Nelda tells me that you've been preaching a few years.
7.
So you will be a very good preacher when you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Her comment offended me. Who was she to criticize me? After all, I was a seminary graduate, an ordained minister who stood in the pulpit every Sunday. During the next few years, I had 2 very agreeable pastorates, and on my trips to Chicago, I always stayed with Nelda's mother. But since her religious views annoyed me, I worked out a system to avoid them. Hello, Ma. Can you put up a poor, threadbare preacher for a day or so?
Joseph, of course. This is a great pleasure. Come in. Come in and let me get you a snack.
Not now, Ma. I'll just leave my suitcase here by the door and come back tonight.
Well, why the hurry?
I have to be at a meeting downtown.
Oh, that's too bad. I was hoping we might read together from the Bible. Pray a little, maybe.
Sorry, Ma. Better not wait up. I'm sure to be late. Good morning, Ma.
Good morning, Joseph. I'm just putting breakfast on the table. Now, did you get your business taken care of last night?
Sure did, Ma.
Oh, I'm so glad. Then this morning you're going to have some time for a little session of prayer.
Oh, I'm afraid not. There's another session this morning.
Oh, Joseph, you're always in a hurry, and that is not good.
That's the way life is.
Jesus was always busy, but never in such a hurry.
I might have gone on for years finding comfort in my own self-righteousness, but for a tragedy in my congregation. This is Reverend Stump. Yes? Mr. Gross, you say? Of course, I'll come at once.
Trouble, honey?
Looks like it. Fred has a ruptured appendix, and his condition is very serious. I'll have to go to the hospital at once. Fred's condition was extremely serious, and it stayed that way. Days ran into weeks, weeks became months with no recovery because we didn't have some of the wonder drugs then. In time, I realized that Fred was going to die, and he realized it too.
Pastor, you've been so faithful coming to see me.
Nonsense, Fred.
Ain't nonsense. You come to see me every single day.
Well, that's my job, Fred. Besides, somebody has to keep you posted on what's going on in the world. You don't want to be like Rip Van Winkle when you get well, do you?
I'm not going to get well, Pastor. We both know that.
Don't talk like that, Fred.
It's true. You know because the doctor told you.
Well, not definitely.
Oh, definitely enough. And I know because I know. So let's drop the pretense. If I'm going soon, I want to be ready.
I think you are ready.
No, I'm not. Done some things I'm not very proud of. I'd like to go into eternity with clean hands and a clean heart.
Fred, what in the world are you worried about?
Not this world, the next. I'm worried about my sins, Pastor.
Well, don't worry. You've been a good church member for years.
Is that enough?
I think so. Listen, I've brought a little book of prayers. Let me read a few. I think you'll find them comforting. For days after that, during each visit I read to him, prayers, little poems, reassuring thoughts. Looking away, Fred found no comfort in them, and neither did I. But I had nothing else to offer. Late one night I was called to Fred's room, and when I got there, he was almost too weak to speak. Fred, do you hear me? Fred? Fred, my old friend, lay there at the brink of death. He looked at me and through me, his hollow eyes burning and frightened. He didn't utter a sound, but that hopeless, haunted gaze, the eyes of a man more in the next world than in this one, seemed to speak a message all their own.
Why didn't you tell me, Pastor? Why didn't you tell me?
Fred? What can I tell you, Fred? I don't know myself.
We'll hear the rest of Joe's story in just a moment. Everyone is hurting in these troubled times. Jobs, homes, and families, all are threatened. Where do you turn for help? We turn to the Lord, our strength and hope. We have a prayer team that supports us with their prayers, and they will lift up your needs too. Just write and name your petition, like this one. I lost my mother on Saturday morning, and I need your prayers as I go through her things. Or this one, I've been an atheist for many years, and I'm too proud to go to those who know me for this. I want to come home. Please pray for me. Remember, no need is too small or too big for our God. He loves prayers like this one. Please pray that I will have a real relationship with our God, like father and daughter, with love for Him to the fullest. So send your request. If you would like to be part of our prayer team, write and tell us whether you want to receive petitions once or twice a month. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
How is he, honey?
He died right before my eyes, Nelda.
Oh, well, at least he's out of his misery, the poor man. All those months of suffering.
That's only part of it, Nelda.
Well, what do you mean, Joe?
He was so frightened at the end, he could barely speak, but I saw the fear in his eyes.
Death is scary for most people.
I didn't know what to say, and that scares me.
Well, I'm sure it's hard to know what to say every time.
Well, being a minister, I should know. I mean, people expect it. I saw so much death during the war, and I didn't know what to say then either. I thought seminary would prepare me, but it didn't, not really.
Well, maybe it gets easier in time.
I don't think so, Nelda. Maybe I'm not cut out to be a minister after all.
Don't be silly. You'll see. On Sunday, you'll step into the pulpit same as ever.
Friends, before we close this morning service, there's something I must say to you. For months now, ever since Fred Gross died, I've been asking myself the most serious questions a man can ask. I've read the words of great theologians, the doctrines of our church, and I've prayed so much. But I do not have the answers to my questions. So I'm leaving.
No.
I'm quitting today.
No.
If I don't know how to point someone to the way of salvation, then I am no minister, regardless of my credentials. In the most loving spirit possible, I tell you this. Get yourselves a pastor who knows more about eternal matters than I do.
Pastor Stump, I hate to see a man act in haste and then regret it later on. Why don't you reconsider? Take a leave of absence. I sure advise against that resignation.
I agree. It's just nerves. That's all nerves. Everyone has them these days.
You've been working too hard, Pastor. Why don't you take a good long rest?
So what are you going to do now, Joe?
I think I'll go to New York and talk with some of the great theologians there.
What is it you don't understand, honey?
What really happens when you die? And why is it so scary? Nobody seems to know.
Well, maybe it's something we all have to learn for ourselves when it happens.
Well, that's no time to deal with uncertainty. I saw the anguish in Fred's eyes because he didn't know and I didn't either.
How could you?
We talk about salvation, but what is it really? I need to know for my own peace of mind before I can ever again take up the duties of a pastor.
Well, I hope you find the answers, honey.
If I don't, I'll have to find another line of work. In New York, I took my questions to one theologian after another, and none of them had the answers I sought. Finally, I came to a man whose answers had the ring of conviction, backed by his personal experience.
So, you are stumped, Mr. Stump.
Definitely.
Remember this. Christianity is a revealed religion. God revealed himself in Christ. Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." In every other religion, man tries to reach up to God by doing something, you know, like good works. Only in Judaism and Christianity do we find God reaching down to man.
And man mostly trying to escape from God.
Yes.
I'm not trying to escape. I'm trying to understand.
Well, all of God's love, all of God's character is revealed perfectly on the cross of Calvary in Jesus Christ, his Son. This is God reaching down to die in order to save us. Any valid answer to your question lies there.
Well, thank you, Doctor. I'm not sure I understand it, but I thank you for the effort.
Tell me something, Mr. Stump.
Mm-hmm.
What do you really want?
I want to see souls saved.
Haven't you ever seen it?
No.
Aha. Then let me give you some advice.
I'm listening.
Go down to the Bowery Mission.
Me? In a place like that?
Why not?
Well, I might learn some techniques that are new to me. How do I get there?
One of our young men goes there every night. I'll have him take you.
That night I dressed carefully, wearing nothing that would suggest I was a minister. Skid Row was a new experience for me. I hadn't realized that people lived like that, passed out on the sidewalk. The mission meeting was just beginning as I sat down. The speaker, a man named Hadley, talked about sin and death. I felt that his teaching might even answer some of my questions. Then he turned to a subject that struck home.
We don't often speak of this down here, but one of the tragedies of our time is the number of preachers in pulpits who don't know the way of salvation. Jesus called them blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. All over the country are hypocrites in the pulpit, the choir, ushers, and elders who are not saved. Friends, religion is not salvation. Going to church is not salvation. These days, religion can be anything, and often is. But Jesus Christ is everything, and he is the only way to receive salvation. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." If you've never repented of your sins and come to Jesus Christ for salvation, you are on your way to hell. Is there a sinner here tonight who wants to receive Jesus as your Savior? We don't know you, but God does. Is there anyone? Anyone at all?
I looked around for the man he was talking about, but the only one I could find was Joe Stump. And that made me very angry. I walked out in a rage against Hadley. What right did that Skid Row character have to attack those with a better education? All that night I raged and paced the floor of my hotel room. At 8 in the morning came an interruption to my anger. Yes?
Good morning, Mr. Stump. Did you go to the mission last night?
Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. Did you have a good time?
It was okay.
Did you go up to the front to talk with the speaker?
Me? I should say not.
Oh, Stump. I stayed home last night and prayed to God that you'd go forward. I'm disappointed.
Well, I'm sorry. Goodbye, sir. That began the hardest 3 days of my life. angry at everyone. I even cried with self-pity. A battle raged in my soul as I desperately tried to hang on to the right to be myself. But an overpowering sense of guilt began dissolving my defenses. For years, I had been preaching a hope of heaven to people like Fred, sermons that had no power to save.
Why? Why didn't you tell me, Pastor? Why didn't you tell me?
I can't, Fred. I don't know. I tell you, I don't know. I can jump out of this window, but it's a long way down to the street. Well, that's all it takes. One little push and the problem is settled, one way or another. No. No, I won't do that! The third night, I knew I couldn't stay in my room another minute. When the mission service started, I was right there, waiting. Again, it was Hadley who spoke.
The prophet Isaiah said, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Who then can be saved? No one who is trusting in his own righteousness, his own good works, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, your self-righteousness is a sin, offensive to a holy God. You must repent of your sins and ask his forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast."
I knew what I needed and wanted to do. I could hardly wait until the end of the sermon, and Hadley said what I had been waiting to hear.
"Is there a sinner here who wants to repent? Anyone at all?"
"Yes. Me."
"Well, praise God. Come down here, friend." "Brother, you just kneel down here beside the altar and tell God that you repent of your sins against him and that you're a sinner who wants to be saved. Tell him you believe Jesus died for your sins. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world."
That was the moment. I came to Christ as a repentant sinner, pride broken, and asked him to give me a new life, eternal life with him. At last, I had peace with God. The next morning, I let everyone know that I was saved by God's mercy. On the train heading west, I opened my Bible and found meaning in the scriptures like I had never even suspected was there. I stopped in Chicago to see Nelda's mother.
"Joseph, come in, come in!"
"Ma, you got room for a broken-down preacher?"
"Of course I have room for you. Joseph, let me look at you."
"What's the matter?"
"Nothing, Joseph, nothing at all. You have time to read the Bible and pray with me this time, don't you?"
"Yeah, Ma. All the time you want."
"I knew you were different. Now you'll be a really good preacher because you know the Lord Jesus."
She was right. I couldn't wait to go home and tell my parishioners the good news. Some of you urged me to take a rest. But what I really needed was peace with God, which only Jesus Christ can give me. Now I know why Fred Gross was tormented, why anyone facing death is tormented at the prospect of standing before a holy God in judgment. You will stand alone, my friends. Do you think your good works are enough? They are not enough, because God is holy and his standard is perfection. There was only one sinless man born into the world, and he lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He is Lord of heaven and earth, and his name is Jesus Christ. God sent his only Son to be the sacrifice for your sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ offers you his holiness in exchange for your sins. Take them to the cross where he died for you. Come forward now, repent of your sins, and ask God to save you.
I'm constantly amazed at people who come forward every week and get saved, honey.
It isn't me. It's the Lord's doing.
Well, he sure uses you.
He'll use any life that's surrendered to him.
I'm so glad you went to New York. I wasn't sure it would help, but it did.
God knew. That's why he gave me the idea. And to think it wasn't a great theologian at all who showed me the way.
A rescue mission on Skid Row. I wish I'd been there.
I always thought I was above all that. But there's a verse that says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So I was no better, not in the eyes of a holy God.
Jesus loves them too.
Yes, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In 5 years, 300 people profess their faith in Christ in our church, each one set free of the law of sin and death. Then God led me to evangelism, taking me to the Far East with an international ministry. I am no longer Reverend Stump. I am Brother Joe, worshiping the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. We love him because he first loved us.
We hope this testimony has opened your eyes to the goodness of God, that he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, not even you, if you have never trusted him with your eternal destiny. You can step from uncertainty to the assurance of heaven by praying with us now. Dear God, I confess that I am a sinner who deserves death. I repent of my sins against you. I believe Jesus is the Son of God who died for my sins on the cross. Thank you for sending him to die in my place. Come into my heart and life, Lord Jesus, and make me like you. Please save me and help me to live for you. In your name I pray. Amen. If you prayed with us, let us know. We'll send you some helpful literature. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3056. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Hearing from you is a highlight of our day, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.